everyone. Today is Wednesday, September the 3rd, 245th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, guy who's always full of laughter and mirth, Ryan Sundberg.
How's it going?
Fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. It's been one of those days.
We got a couple things to talk about this afternoon. We'll kind of encapsulate the, I don't know if it's controversy, but let's just call it the discussion that's been going on around the potential or not potential bridge and Clam Beach that is an access out to the out to where the clams are. I'll also spend a little bit of time talking about a state panel that Ryan's part of that is kind of cool. You know, he didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it, so we'll talk about that. And then a little something about the Trinity River, as there seems to be a couple of questions going on about what the levels with the water are and some of the challenges. I'm even seeing bumper stickers in the Bay Area saying people versus fish. Who gets the water? Kind of interesting that the whole discussion is now starting to make it statewide rather than just in our neighborhood. So we'll talk about that also. And maybe, just maybe, get a laugh in or two.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Gene Black. This is a golf quote. No man has mastered golf until he realizes that his good shots are accidents and his bad shots are good exercise.
Uh-huh.
I suppose you could do that with public hearings, huh?
Pretty close, yeah.
How do you maintain an external presence of decorum?
At our meetings?
At your meetings, at public hearings, at the grocery store, at you know, my sense, not just yourself, but at least with three of the other four, is that there are a few sanctuaries available for you guys and gals. And whether or not it's accidental or whether it's something that just kind of is planned, that there's not too many places where you can go.
Yeah, no, it's true. You have to go far out of town to go somewhere where people don't know you.
Or even out of state.
Yeah.
In some situations. So how do you maintain that when game's on, lights on, all that kind of stuff, that sense of, okay, this one's kind of a goofball, but I'll keep smiling?
I don't know. I guess you just have a respect for the public, and, you know, I think everybody's got a good opinion, and, you know, I don't have to agree with all of them, but...
You think everybody's got good opinions?
I think most people have good opinions. I think they think it's a good opinion.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Or at least a self-benefiting opinion.
Yeah. But how do you do it? I don't know. I guess it's just part of your personality. You just, you know...
Okay.
Some people have told me I have a good poker face. You know, because
yeah, they tell me that too, and they show me a fireplace poker, and I'm not sure it's a compliment.
At our meetings when I was chair, you know, we had some items come through that, you know, I remember the in-home healthcare workers were coming every week, and then we have other ones that come, and, you know, they really beat on you pretty hard and call you, you know, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves, and, you know, go pretty hard at you.
Yeah. Bringing your family, your background, and yeah.
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 So I just try to, you know, not react, because I think some people, that's what they're looking for, is to get a reaction out of you, and not giving them a reaction is not playing into it. So I try to be respectful and listen until I can't anymore. And then
do you call for a break?
No.
Go for a walk?
I'm always good.
Hit the booze good. In the back room?
I mean, what? No, I don't drink, so.
eliminate all the variables here if we can.
But it's like, I don't know, I guess I'm used to it too, because I was on the tribal council for a long time.
Were those as emotional?
Those way worse. Yeah, this.
This is playing in the kiddie pool for you then.
Yeah, this is easy compared to, I'm not related to most of the speakers. They've got 3 minutes to get it all out, and, then they have to wait a week. the other way at in tribal politics, you're related to them, or you grew up with them, or it's your cousin's best friend, and
they know where you live.
Yeah, you go
et cetera, et cetera. Yeah,
you make a tough decision, and then you, hey, Thanksgiving, so it's
you want some mashed potatoes
on the plate. So it's that it's not too bad. And then my wife, she's used to me getting caught in the grocery store and having a 15-minute conversation with someone, and she knows that if she wants something quick from the grocery store, she better go herself.
You drive, she walks in. Yeah. Well, it's the thing that I hear. It's not the interrupt the time element. It's the I have carte blanche to say and do anything. And if I'm going to unload, I'm going to unload. That's my entitlement. That's my right. Mm-hmm. You have to take it because you're an elected.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that in any of the political paperwork you guys have to sign up for. And I have not seen that in any of the state constitutions anywhere. But there's still that sense that some folks have.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. I think there's... I think when you're an elected official, especially the higher you go, the more fair game you are to whatever they want to say. And
so there's no truth to the rumor that you're running for Congress?
No, none.
Okay.
And I try not to react. I mean, sometimes you're not perfect, and sometimes I'll send an email or I'll say something and wish I just. Because then you end up in a dialogue that goes nowhere, and you wish every time I do it, I'm like, okay, I should have just said thank you for your response and moved on, and,
Not engaged,
because if you engage with someone who's got their mind made up, it's not going to really go anywhere.
Now, how does that play? Well, I guess I'll have to ask this after the break. But you know what? I got 3 smiles out of you.
Oh, you're on a roll.
We're loosening up the old guy. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, some of the different challenges that are out there, I would imagine not only are they people's personal attitudes and feelings and get into that whole swamp, but then you've got the regulators that it doesn't seem like there are an awful lot of things that are truly black and white. Mm-hmm. Everything is up for interpretation, or somehow there's a subjectiveness to it instead of being objective. Particularly when you're trying to do something that you know is beneficial and is proper. Okay, so with that as a backdrop, this little goofy thing in Clam Beach. It's like, okay, here's what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to make it so it doesn't tear up the land as much as, or I guess a dune is land. Tear up the sand as much as other options are. We still want people to be able to have access. Then they put you on the spit or rotate you for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. That's another one of those why bothers, I think.
Yeah. At least. So for, the Clam Beach... And I've tried to tell people this after we turned the permit in, because we put a permit in to put a bridge across the real marshy area that is not passable anymore. People used to just drive straight out onto the beach from the parking lot, and then it got too deep and a bunch of people got stuck. So we had to close it off because it just wasn't safe anymore for people to keep doing that.
You couldn't bring a bulldozer out and fill it in with more sand.
No. You need a permit for that.
Yeah, so. See, there's another simple solution shot, huh?
Yeah, so I mean, so there was two things that I told people that are, you know, we have the Clam and Moonstone Beach master plans that we have to follow, and then there's the Coastal Commission that we have to get a permit through. So this idea that we're going to slap a bridge in and people can just drive wherever they want and it's going to be a free-for-all out there, it was just... wasn't true, you know. Then there was cartoons in the newspaper with big four-wheel drives and snowy plovers driving them, and you know, so just you know, forwarding that idea.
You were in the passenger seat.
I wasn't in there. No,
they didn't put you in the cartoon.
No, I know, how rude.
Yeah.
So, but our idea was from the beginning was okay. Let's put a bridge over there so we can get people out to Clam Beach for clam tides and special events, and you know, the sheriff. You know, I did have a lot of phone calls from elderly people who had clammed out there forever. Now with it closed off, it's just too far to walk. And it's not too bad when, because what happens is every other year, the clam beds are open either on the south end or the north end. And it goes by the creek that runs through there. And so the creek has really meandered to the south a long ways down towards the Mad River. And now when the south clamming grounds are open, it's a long ways away from the parking lot. I mean, a really, really long ways away from the parking lot, and it's really small. And then when the north one's open, it's not as bad because you can walk straight out and, you know, more people can get out there that way. So, you know, having this bridge and having it controlled, you know, we'd have some kind of check-in, check-out process is what we're envisioning, and doing it, you know, starting it for clam tides when it's, you know, when the water's out. And we'd have a docents program where people would monitor it, and you know, and then we have a beach patrol through the sheriff, and so we'd have to have all that aligned up and, you know, make sure
it's all just so people can go out and do the clamming that they've done forever and ever.
Yeah, well, there's endangered species out there, and there's, you know, the snowy plovers, and there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, we don't want to get sued over. And, you know, I know some people think, oh, big deal, but, I mean, that's where it comes down to.
If you say lawsuit, then there's probably, you know, nobody sues for $1 million. It's now.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's stuff out there that needs to be protected, and the county has a responsibility to do that. And that was always the plan from the beginning is, okay, let's have a really controlled access, and, you know, people can go do something they really enjoy. And Supervisor Smith was part of this with me when he was on the board. And
it's been that long that you've been chasing this thing?
Well, because what first came up was the barrier was we need a permit and then we need to have it constructed, and the county doesn't have any money. So I went out and found people who would donate their time and materials to construct the actual bridge. And after I did that, then Hank Seaman from Public Works said, okay, I think we're ready for, you know, to do a permit and see what the Coastal Commission will require. Well, they just sent back us a list of what they would require, and it was so long. And there, I mean, studies for clam habitat and mitigation, and I mean, it was a laundry list of stuff that
this is just for the bridge, not. That's all that they were talking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I don't know if they didn't understand what we were trying to accomplish. You know,
or that it's called Clam Beach for a reason?
Yeah.
They're clam there, and clams have been dug up for a long time. Clam mitigation?
No, it was a clam study, and then it was a wetlands mitigation. So, it's a historical access that's always been there. You know, that, I don't know, I don't get why they're being so... hardcore, I guess, would be the thing.
That'd be the polite term to use, yes.
And, you know, their mission is to provide access to beaches, and it's, you know, basically the list that they have would kill any idea we had for to help people get out there and have it be really strictly controlled.
KINS, News and Information Time. Okay, that wasn't that funny a segment. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, one of the things that I think is kind of cool, or at least that's what I said. I think it's cool. You're not really too sure that you think that it's cool.
There's one more thing I want to add on to the
about the
bridge thing, because I had this question come up quite a bit, and I don't think, and someone left me a voice message the other day about it, but there's the south where the campground is for the Clam Beach, south parking lot.
Right.
It's closest to McKinleyville, Eureka, that area.
The exit.
The project that we're talking about is, and that's the county owns all that. And then there's the north parking lot.
Out towards.
Towards Moonstone.
Right.
And someone said, well, there's a gate there, and there's, you know, a little trail, and that's where people get out there to go to, like, the Clam Beach race and all that.
Right.
How come they just don't use that? You know, that would be a simple fix. Well, we've looked at that option. Yeah, and part of that land that goes through there, we had it surveyed even to find exactly where our property is and where the state's property is. And part of it, you'd have to go over the state property to get out to the wave slope. So we can't, and they made it really extremely clear with us that they will not allow vehicles to go over their property unless they say so. So they've made exceptions for, like, the Clam Beach race and for crab fishermen who have lost their gear and they want to go out and pick it up. So other than that, you know, and some other small exceptions here and there, but it's not, they will not entertain the idea of us doing some kind of check-in, check-out process through their property. So that's why we're not using that end, and we need to come up with some other way to make that happen.
Can you just punch it out as an extension of one of those paved parking lots?
No, to do anything like that, you have to get a permit. Or,
so it's not the bridge necessarily, it's just anything in the coastal zone.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Feel better?
Yeah, I just want to try and get as much information out there as possible, answer questions that people have, because I know that comes up. Is, boy, what a bunch of dummies. Why don't they just use that other...
I don't think that's going to change the comment.
No, probably not. I wouldn't expect it.
State gaming... It's something that's interesting. I can remember back when the Lion was built here in Eureka. You probably can't, but you might be able to.
No. Nope.
That there were rumors abounding that California was going to legalize gambling up and down the state. We were going to be like Nevada. And that facility was wired for the one-armed bandits. It was that pending. That
really?
It was going to happen, yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, obviously, it's something, you know, something didn't work out quite right to make that one happen. But there's a lot of question about, okay, why are all these gaming casinos all over the place, all tied to the Indian tribes, or at least have them as sponsors is kind of the sense that a lot of folks have. Why are they so prevalent, why aren't there more? Why aren't they in the hotels everywhere? Why just on the reservations? What kind of background is there with that? Because it certainly is a pretty strong cash flow tool for a lot of areas up and down California.
Yeah, so how it works is tribes are under the federal government. You know, they're sovereign. You'll hear that tribes are sovereign nations. Well, they're sovereign to the states, to local government, but not, I try to explain it to people that a reservation or a rancheria is just like the state of Nevada. You know, California can't tell Nevada what to do. They can't tell us what to do, but we're all under the federal government. And so under the federal government, they have the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. And in that act, they said that basically we don't want to have to deal and regulate casinos in the United States, so we're going to defer it to the states. And so they in that act they say that that tribes have to tribes and states have to negotiate in good faith a compact that spells out the terms of how these casinos will work, so that each state.
Does Nevada have to, or is it because the state has legalized gambling, is that just kind of a different critter?
Yeah, every state has to have a compact with tribes to have casinos, and they.
So Oregon's different than California in that regard. Then.
Do you remember in California we actually voted on whether to do gaming? I think it was Prop 8.
There have been a couple of them that have been going on. Now some of them are specific to some specific tribes or specific locations. Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds like cleanup legislation to me.
Yeah, but I think the main one happened. I forget what year it was. But
yeah, there was
somewhere around
the one
that
opened the gates.
Yeah,
I guess.
So that basically said Californians said, okay, we want gaming in tribal facilities. And then so the compact that we did, there was one main compact done in 1999, and that one said that each tribe, if you're under 350 slot machines, then you're considered a non-gaming tribe, and then you could have up to 2,000 slot machines and no dice and no balls. So that's why you don't see roulette and craps in California casinos, is because that was part of the compact. So, and all the rest of them were tailored after the 99 compact. Well, those are good for 20 years, and so they're coming up.
Why are they only 20 years? Or is that just was written in?
It was negotiated in good faith. So that's what they negotiated.
Oh.
And I was actually in Sacramento when they were doing the negotiation, and we, with Trinidad Rancheria, we were one of the first tribes to get a compact. And
each tribe has their own unique compact. It's not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the state has to negotiate with each tribe because they're their own entity. But a lot of tribes banded together and took the same deal. And so that's why they refer to the 99 compacts, because that's what most people have, is we all, everybody kind of took
signed
the
on.
Same.
It was a grouping, yeah.
Yeah, so they all grouped up. And then now you'll see compacts or some of these tribes want more slot machines, and so they've renegotiated their compacts. And
yeah, huge number.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
When Schwarzenegger was in, he redid a few of them, and they have a lot more taxes that they pay, but they can have more slot machines, so they negotiated out,
So that's the balance.
Yeah,
the trade-off.
Yeah,
so like somebody like Catch Creek or these guys that are north or just south of Santa Rosa, I don't even know the name of the thing. But they're almost like regional resort facilities.
Yeah, you look at the new one is a good example in Santa Rosa.
Yeah,
that just
one.
Opened.
Yeah.
So, they pay a huge amount of money to the state, to the local governments and sheriff's department. I mean, they have tons of requirements, but.
And that's all because they're over the 99, the number of slots?
They didn't have a compact, so they negotiated
they
a brand new one.
And one
so
on
this
one,
is,
okay.
Yeah. And then in Klamath, the Klamath Yurok tribe just finished negotiating their compact also. So,
okay, so that's why the lodging is in place, but the
casino's not. Yeah, so they're still
machines are still working on it. Okay.
Yeah, so I heard they might open up just as Class 2, which is basically bingo machines, and they're not they have Class 1 and Class 2. Class 1 games are games of chance, where they have the slot machine has a random number generator in it, and then when you press the button, that generator stops,
and
then
it
picks your outcome. In the Class 2 machines, you play against other people, and so it's more like a poker game, and then they collect a fee. So it's a different way that they do it.
And different facilities have different options, or you can have combinations of both?
Well, see, Class 2 is not regulated by the compacts. You can have Class 2 machines in California because it's the same as a bingo machine. But if you want Class 1 machines, then you have to have a compact with the state.
Yeah, so it's not the numbers. It's also the type of units
you
have also.
So, yeah, if you're under 350 slot machines, so it's like Sherry Heights is under 350 slot machines. Bear River is over 350 slot machines. So the main difference is if you're considered a non-gaming tribe, there's a trust fund set up, and you get $1.1 million a year to be a non-gaming tribe. And so that was one of the carrots they threw in to try and keep the numbers down and, you know,
keep them small instead of these big monster.
Yeah. So there's a, you know, you'd have to have a lot of revenue before you kicked out of that category. And it's, you know,
but you wouldn't want to have five of those or six of those or 10 of those in the same county.
Well, the economics of it go into play, you know, they're, you know, whether they open up or not, you know, so where are you located? And, you know, so
that'd be what side of the Klamath?
Yeah. I mean, there's
those guys tried what, two or three different times and weren't able to make a go of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you still have to make money. So.
Yeah. Bottom line, still bottom line. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, so with the backdrop that you gave us with the various compacts and the gaming and the fact that it's coming to, I guess, a renewal window or an extension window, what is that process? Does the state of California have to go through that? Is there, do the citizens vote on it? Is what happens now?
Yeah, it goes through the state, and then it basically through the governor's office. He has people who will, you know, reach out and they'll try to renegotiate these compacts. And it'll be interesting to see what happens if, you know, if a tribe wants to keep exactly what they have and don't change anything. Is California going to try and get something out of those compacts? And, you know, one of the committees that I'm on, and it's a recent one, is there's the California State Association of Counties, which is CSAC. You'll hear of us going to the CSAC conference and that kind of thing, and it's all 58 counties are part of this. A lot of the counties are wanting to have more say-so over what happens with gaming facilities.
Do they want more say-so, or do they just want some financial kickbacks from these guys that they see some of them spending or appearing to be super liquid?
Yeah, probably both. If I had to be honest, and you know, there's impacts that happen. You know, there's, you know, you see the sheriff impacts, and you know, in Humboldt County, for instance, doesn't have a lot of money, but we have a really good relationship with the tribes, and we, you know, Bear River funds a deputy. I know Sherry Heights uses sheriff's deputies for the special events, and we hire them to do that. And so, and Blue Lake, you know, just gave, $100,000 for all new little iPad equipment for their...
You saw what the supervisors had, and they wanted to...
Yeah, they're jealous of us. So, I mean, here we have a great relationship, and it works fine. And, you know, so they asked me to be one of the co-chairs on the California State Association of Counties committee they have for Indian gaming. And we're going on our second meeting for that, and then we're going to be down in LA soon to give a statewide talk about how to get along with our partners and tribes.
So next time you're back, you'll have an additional title, a little bit more influence, a little bit more sway on the state level.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. Have fun, dude. Have fun. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. So then go out and make a good day on Sunday.